I'm Colleen McNamara,
and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
If I were the man I was 5 years ago, I'd take a flamethrower to this place.
All right, hold on.
.905 here on a Friday. Mike McNamara with you, joined by the Prince of All Marine Radio, Michael Musselman. Actually, it's kind of odd that we're
liking that.
I know you don't like it, but we don't care about that. And it's kind of appropriate that you're the Prince of All Marine Radio because the President is out reviewing the troops with the Queen of England.
In Palace. Yeah.
I'll tell you what, that looks sweet.
I would never, if I was the President.
What?
That's one place I would never go, and I'd go to visit the Queen or the royal family.
I would. I'd go there simply. I would want to review those troops. Who are those guys?
No.
Who are
just
those?
Simple
Mike,
for the fact.
Who are those guys with the big bear hats? Who are those guys? Do you know?
That's the Queen part, the royal. So
wait.
There are different units that rotate into that position. So they're not. It's not one set unit. It's a rotating unit.
Oh, okay.
So, like, the Royal Scots or the Queen's Highlander, you know, there's like all these different units that rotate within that. And that's the uniform they wear is the Queen's Guard.
That's pretty sweet.
Palace Guard.
That's pretty sweet. All right. The joining us is Kurt Knowles, F-18 man, just back from
I heard.
Just back from Montana. What's going on, man? What's what special occasion?
Dude, I got your washer in the back of my truck. I'm like your delivery man for appliances.
Did you bring the soap that I asked you to bring?
No, but I told Cindy about what you said about how that shit's expensive, and she started laughing. She's like, "I know we should go get buy him a box." So
what did you?
I'm gonna take you to lunch anyways. I'll take you regardless. I'll take you to lunch.
Mike, let me. Do you think this is unreasonable? So because like Rudy's.
Hey, wait a second. First of all, Rudy, you gotta slow down. Talking, man, you talk way so fast now.
He's a fighter
you know?
Pilot.
That's my speed of my life.
He's a fighter pilot, man. Come on.
Yeah.
No.
Man, I only taught like two words out of that whole thing.
The so Rudy's rich and he's getting a new washing machine, right? So because I'm poor, he says, "Hey Mac, do you want my old washing machine?" And I said, "Yeah, because mine leaks. I got a towel around the bottom because I've got a slow drip on my washing machine." So we're talking last night because he got about a two and a half hour ride home from where he landed to his home. And I said, "Hey, when you bring my washing machine up, are you going to take my old one away?" Now, Mike, do you think that's an unreasonable request? If you're going to deliver one, shouldn't you take it away?
Well, okay, you live in Costa Mesa, I think,
yes.
Or around there.
Yes.
I would tell you to just take that thing, put it on the cord free on it. Before he even rests the sign on it, it's gone. That's true.
I know,
that's
but
so true.
But don't you think Rudy should do that? Because he's the appliance deliverer. That's his responsibility? Or do you think that's do you think that's out of line?
Yeah, it's out of line because he's the donator. He's not a appliance delivery man. He's a donation service.
Okay. All right. I don't like the answer, but I'll accept it. So do you think my second request was, hey, when you deliver the washing machine, do you think you could bring some soap? Because that shit's expensive. Do you think that's how?
Okay. It goes back to the same thing of he's the donation guy. There should be no request made, period.
All right. So you think the soap request was out of line?
Dude, if you were a homeless guy and I gave you a burger on the side of the street and you opened it up and said, "I don't like pickles," I'm kicking you in the side of the head.
Okay, so clearly you're not the right person for me to be asking these questions of. So
no.
We'll switch.
Thank you for the burger.
Says more time you ask. Yeah, one thing that pisses me off more than anything is when beggars get to be choosy.
And it wasn't choosing. All right? It's not like I rejected. I wanted more included. Okay? Is that a crime?
Yeah. And Cindy's forgiving. Yeah. She's like, "Let's go buy him some soap. That those pods are expensive."
Cindy's a kind-hearted human being.
Yeah.
Cindy is a good person.
I know.
Don't let Cindy be a good person.
Yeah. Drag her down the shithole that you jackasses live in of misery and being shitty to your friends. You know, you could have just said, you know
yeah.
what, that's, Cindy, that's a, great what? That's a great idea. Let's go buy Mac a 2-year supply of laundry soap. That'll be awesome.
No. You know, you're right. You know, drag her down into our... No, you have to, because if you don't, people like Cindy will be taking advantage of her good, kind nature.
Oh, really? So that's what veterans do, take advantage of other people?
No. What I'm saying, like me, I'm a nice guy. And I only say, hey,
I'm nice.
Just don't confuse my kindness with weakness.
I don't. So what's wrong with Cindy being kind with 2 years of kindness with laundry soap?
You've got the hand bit, that's why.
All right. Obviously, the wrong person to have on relative to this shit. All right, so Rudy, are you?
Think I'm going
to
side with you?
All right, we're changing subjects.
No, but you'd be honored to know that. And guess who? Lance helped me load in the back of the truck. Lance came over this morning, 6:45, helped me lift the thing in the back of the truck.
Well, he should help you because I'm hooking him.
Rudy, you're not in a jet. Let's pretend that you're in a stopless camel. Slow down.
You know what?
I'm doing 85 on the freeway. I got one speed, baby. Fast.
Relax. Talk like this, Rudy.
You don't even talk like that. Why do you need two person to shove a washing machine in a pickup truck?
Oh, you wait till you lift this thing. Wait till you get this thing out of your truck.
It's probably a high class washing machine.
Oh,
yeah, that's a nice one, Samsung.
I've never had one of those. Does it need?
Oh yeah, it's
you probably up. Still got like the white top
yes.
loader.
Yes.
With the coin thing that's been ripped out of the left side.
Well,
there's a top loader, Max. You got a top loader?
Yeah.
Oh my God, this thing's gonna blow your mind. I can't wait to talk to you next week about this washing.
Hey, machine. Don't say top. Don't say top loader like it's a museum piece.
Hey, is it white?
Look at the top loader. I can relate to the discussion you had about grandmother's phonograph.
Hey, let's go to this. Mac, is your machine white?
Yes, white's my favorite color. I'm white.
Okay, wait.
My kids are white. My dog.
On the back side where the control panels are they digital or are they switches and buttons?
They're
dials, right?
No, yeah, they're dials. They're dials. Yes, absolutely.
Oh man,
okay.
So it's gonna blow you away.
And you look to the far right. Can you look to see if there could be or far right side? Because there possibly looked like there could have been a coin box actually attached there. At one
no,
or another.
No. There's no coin box. Although
no, maybe it was there. Is there any discoloration?
No, there's no discoloration. There's no discoloration.
Okay.
Oh, why are you guys busting on me because I'm poor? Like, is that
you're
like,
not
so
poor.
That's a, so that's a crime now? Now we're going to, like, hate on veterans that are poor? Yeah.
Rudy, seen it as well. Rudy's dropping off a washer at Mac's house, and he's making demands of Rudy. Like, hey, can
they
you drop it off? Can you pick up my old one?
They were not demands. They were requests.
No, he said,
what?
And you better put a blanket down the back of your truck because I don't want that shit all scratched up. That's a direct quote.
Hey, she said, yeah, put your other one like the Salvation Army or a veterans program, a homeless shelter.
Who said that?
Sheena.
How's
she's got like a heart like Cindy. They women think like that.
Why,
they got hearts.
See, why is...
Yeah.
Why, and see, the question is, why would women like that be attracted to jackasses like you guys? Huh? And you
want, they try and fix us.
I know they do. It is. You know what? It's like, okay, I can understand why he's attracted to you, but you know what? And deep, they have like a bad girl streak in them. They wanna hang out with guys that are fucked up, and that's why they're hanging out with you guys.
Yeah. They have a fixing complex.
Yeah. They like to walk near the edge, and then they're gonna fix it. How's that work for him? Tina, she just failed straight. She'll tell you, I failed. He is. Oh,
yeah.
Here he goes.
She failed. She's looking at, she's failed at fixing me.
Here he goes again. So why is Tina home today? She got the day off?
Yeah. Oh, we're going to San Antonio tomorrow.
Oh, big event? You going to another wedding funeral combo? What do you got going?
No. Hey, don't knock that, please. So
it was actually a good
combo.
It was a good day. Mike went to a wedding and a funeral all within a few hour period and said it was great.
No, I went to there was a funeral and then a wedding.
Do you think it matters?
My family? Yeah, I always end with the funeral because then you're on a good note.
Wait, you didn't hear Rudy's question. Rudy, ask that question. Ask this stupid question again. Go ahead.
Hey, I would say it wasn't the ethics if it was the same family. It'd be like, we're doing both the same day. We're going to lay one to rest and put one in.
Go ahead.
That is actually an interesting thing to think about. That would be kind of weird. Imagine hosting in the same family, a wedding and funeral on the same day.
Yeah.
How difficult that would be to pull it off.
Yeah, the closest I think we would ever come to that is losing a dog and then getting another dog in the same day, because we're not going to do grief for whoever, Fido, whatever. We're just getting a new dog, and everybody loves a puppy, you know? But a real family doing a funeral and a wedding in the same day, I think we'd stagger those boys. I think we'd stagger them.
Yeah. What would you do first, though?
What's the day minimum on that? 2 weeks? Month?
No.
Separation?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you could do it in a day.
No.
One day.
No.
I'm thinking 2 weeks.
Family's in town. You're not going to keep the family in town for 2 weeks.
I'd say you could do them on consecutive days. If travel was an issue, we could go back to back, funeral, wedding.
You could do it, like I said, 2 days, separated by 2 days.
Yeah, you have an awesome party the night between them, though, right? We go do the funeral, and then, you know.
I think, which one do you do first? I think you do the
funeral.
You do funeral first, and you wrap it up, and everyone gets boozed up at the wedding. Yeah.
Yep. I think that's
No, funerals are better to go to than weddings. People are happier. You just gave me a look like, you are crazy. Okay, but they're true, though, because, like I said, because weddings, they just, man, there's like a down, a damper on everything.
Fun. You know what he's going to go through and all that shit.
Yeah, the food's not very good. You look at the couple and everybody's like, I'll give it 15 months, you know, that kind of wedding. It's like,
are we talking about a Marine wedding or like a civilian wedding?
A civilian wedding.
Oh, because if it was a Marine wedding,
Weddings are fun.
It would be 15 months either. What, 5 or 6 at the most?
But it'd be depends on the deployment. Is he on a workup? If he's on a workup, I don't know if he's gonna make it.
But Marine, okay.
This little naive girl that lived in the woods in Kentucky is now living in San Diego.
Right.
As soon as her husband leaves, right.
She's gonna stay at home. Gonna stay at home and watch Netflix. Nah.
Not a chance.
So why are Marines
working at Goodies before you know it?
Why is he going to be at the club? And then one of your buddies is going to send you an email. Hey, man, not sure if I should tell you this, but I saw your wife last night at the club with another Marine. That's the cherry on top of the whole thing. What?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. How many times do you think you've heard that in your life, Mike?
Oh, you know, I had young Marines coming to me and, you know, like, sure, or, well, I was a gunny then, you know, gunny, I got a problem, you know, and I'm like, what? Well, my wife, you know, da, 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 and I'm like, okay, how many times has she been married? 3 times. 3 times within the last 3 years? Yes, gunny. And you married her, made it 4? Was she married to Marines every single time? Yes, gunny, how'd you know that? You're like, oh, for crying out loud. You know, there's a part of me that just wants you to go through this pain and suffering so you learn. But you're one of my guys, so I got to do something. You know, like, here we go.
I got to help. I gotta help. So let me lend my compassion and my wisdom to all this. Oh yeah. Shit. Ugh.
The best one of them all, when I was actually at LAR as a staff sergeant, and I'll keep this guy's name because people would probably know who this guy is. But we were there, and one of the guys had married a stripper or an exotic dancer from San Diego down there by the Navy place on Rosecrans, that 18-year-old club.
Yeah.
Pacers.
Yeah,
that's it. Pacers. Married a girl there.
I read about it.
And then didn't have enough money to get a place yet, but then moved in with his two buddies that had an apartment. Two male buddies. No, they weren't married. They were just sharing an apartment. Moved in with them, and then, like, I think it was a week, maybe 2 weeks, he came to me and said, I think my roommates are sleeping with my wife. And then it came to find out, not only were they sleeping with their partner, they were sleeping with her together. It was like, and you made this, here's this, you married an exotic dancer, don't use the word stripper because you don't like it.
Self-employed exotic dancer.
Yeah, and then you move in with two guys that you barely know. They're not even in the same company with you. They're just two guys that offered an apartment to you for you and your newly bride. And then you go to the field for, you know, 20 palms with your company. For 30 days, you come back and you realize that these two guys had taken advantage of your wife. No, doesn't work that way.
You know what?
Yeah, you know, and these are the things you deal with, man.
And you look. Like, everybody who's listening, well, our audience is a bit different, but the funny part is we know it's true, right?
Yeah. You're making this up.
Yeah.
This is the same. I told Mac, I pull in, I'm about to flame out in the truck, so I pull in Bassalone last night to get gas in the truck. And I get off Bassalone, and I pass this late 60s Mustang, and it's two Marines driving down the street. The lights aren't working, and one of them is hanging out the side using his cell phone flashlight to look to see the road. And I'm like, did I just see that? Did I just see two Marines hanging out driving a Mustang, and one of them is using his cell phone flashlight as the headlights of the car?
Trying to be responsible.
Yeah. A plus for ingenuity, a D minus for judgment. That's how Marines... Young Marines always scored very high.
I call Matt. I go, you want to leave? I just saw it. He goes, hey, you got to give him credit. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, and so Rudy flames on me. See, this is what I do for Rudy in his life. He gets spun up, okay, and he gets ready to flame out, right? And my job is I talk him off the ledge. Okay.
Talk him off the ledge. Yeah.
Let's discuss this.
Let's think about
but
it.
But no,
okay.
That's how young Marines are always A plus with, you know, initiative and ingenuity.
Uh-huh.
And they're always like a D minus or an F in judgment. And, you know, it's hilarious. You're right. You're like,
it is. Okay. But so let me ask you this. So why are Marine weddings so much fun?
Because of the stupidity that goes on. I mean, just the sheer stupidity. Depending on, the rank structure of the wedding.
Right.
You know, so I'm going to make fun of. Here's one I'm going to make fun of. Aviators. They're easy to make fun of.
Yeah, you love that.
But went to an aviator wedding, and it was pomp and circumstance. And then, of course, the swords.
Of course.
Everybody's in their blues, right? But it was funny, when I went, I think I was an enlisted guy, wasn't I? I was a gunny. I'm not going to say it on the air, but... Yeah, I did. So, he was an aviator, and I'm not going to say his name in the air, because Rudy knows this guy. He wasn't in there. He flew for the Red Devils way back when. But we were at the wedding, and this was before the war. This was pre-war. Right? And I think I was a gunny, and I was the only enlisted guy in my blues. But it was funny because all of the captains there had like three ribbons. you know. And then,
as a gunny,
I had already had like 6 rows. And I remember like people like going, "Who's that guy? Oh my gosh, look at that! Oh wow!" You know, and it was comical.
Audie Murphy, right? His racked him up on sea duty, right?
Yeah.
Let me tell you, my wedding was one of the most fun weddings. People still that were at it still talk about it. In the middle of the wedding, I had asked a friend. I'm in Okinawa as a second lieutenant. A friend of mine's getting married. I asked another buddy. I said, "Hey, can you send like a singing telegram or something to the wedding?" He hires this girl, and I wrote him a check. I paid for it. She shows up at the wedding in a wedding dress. Right? And like, what? She goes rolling into the reception. "Is Mike Musselman here?" And everybody stops like, and she's like, "Is Mike Musselman here?" Everybody stops. "I thought we were supposed to get married today."
Right.
So yeah, it's in Newport Beach, right? So,
yeah.
So, and it was a swanky thing and the family did appreciate it. And at the end, "This is from Mike McNamara who can't be here, blah, blah, blah." And so at my wedding, he sends a singing telegram to me, right? So I'm a second lieutenant. My second lieutenant buddies are there. They're the sword arch. They got hammered. They got hammered at the rehearsal dinner. They were laying in the foyer of the church during the ceremony. It was tile, right? So it was cool. They were laying on the tile with their heads pressed against the tile so they could try to cool off so they wouldn't be sweating like pigs when they had to do the sword arch. So we get back to the reception, and my father-in-law, who had been buying all the booze, they were sitting in a table next to the bar. So the singing telegram comes in, and she's dressed as like a cake. And the reception is in the backyard of my father-in-law's backyard, and they knocked the fence out to the neighbors. And so it was great for the reception, right? And in January, on January 5th, so she comes in, and she stays too long, right? And this is the payback for when I sent the singing telegram. So my father-in-law goes to get a drink in the middle of this because he was irritated, and he walks up to the bartender, "I'll have whatever." And he looks at the bartender and he goes, "This is stupid. I wish somebody would get her ass out of here." So my buddies, right, if he's buying the booze and he says that, they take it as tasking, right? So they stand up. Some have their coats on. Their dress blue blouses on, some do not. And they walk out, and I'm sitting in a chair, and this girl's like playing a kazoo and doing, and you hear them say in the video, "Hey, Mac, we hear there's a problem." And I look and I'm like, "Yeah." So they pick her up and they're taking her out of the backyard, right? And they have her lifted above their heads, and she's kind of screaming, "Ah, stop!" And there's 6 or 8 of them, right? And they have her, and then all of a sudden they stop at the pool, right? January into an unheated pool. They throw her ass. they throw her ass into the pool, right? And I'm like, "Oh my God." And the place went crazy. She goes into the pool. She comes up. She's gasping for breath. And my company commander, like about 10 minutes later, he says, "Hey, Mac, I got to go. Have a great time. This looks like it's going to be a great party." The party exploded after that. It was awesome. Military weddings, man, they're a good time. For all the reasons Mike said, lack of judgment, alcohol, and those two together are great at a wedding. Plus the uniforms make it pretty cool, too. So I'm just telling you.
And I wanted to ask, now that Rudy's on here, I want to ask Rudy, what was his mindset? What was he thinking when he was taking pictures of, like, Rob's flagpole sending it to us?
Yeah, up in Montana.
I thought that was pretty moto. You pull up, you've got the Marine Corps flag flying out in front of the ranch. Yeah, that was nice, right?
He did that just for you.
For me?
I thought you guys would appreciate that.
He did that for Rudy. He knew Rudy was going to show up, so he had to, like, pull out all the stops, man.
No, he said he
hung it, and actually the owner of the ranch likes it, so he keeps it flying.
Yeah, they have some leadership issues up there. Rudy said they had a big fist fight while he was up there. The interns.
Who did?
What does he call them? The interns? What does he call them?
He calls on the interns, but they're actually pretty, really polite, good boys. They're like Marines, but they're in college, right? And they're all built like football players, and they're out there slugging the logs around and chainsaws. I mean, it's kind of like the perfect summer job career, right? You're like, you're working at a ranch, you're wrangling cattle and cutting wood all day, and then in the evening you drink beer and hang out at the bunkhouse, right? But eventually, you know, it's just like a fire team of Marines. There's gonna be some tension and pecking order, and he's kind of got NCOs there, and he's got some younger ones that, you know, a little bit newer, and Rob's kind of like the company commander. You know what I mean? He's like giving them direction, and then they know kids. Just like it was like the show. It was like a fight at the barracks. You know what I mean? It was like knock, knock, knock on the company commander's door. Sir, can we talk to you for a minute? You know, and it was just like they got to sort it out though.
So he needs an XO.
A little bit of a lead, yeah, little bit of a leader, yeah. Little bit of a leadership failure. Nice going, Rob. The interns drinking and fist fighting.
It might not be a bad idea. Like, you can have an XO. They got plenty of room out there. There's probably a good XO quarters right next to the shop. So, yeah.
But Mike's
place has got like four houses on it.
Mike's an enlisted guy. Recreational fighting, is that a big deal, Mike?
No.
It's just part of it, right?
Yeah.
No, it was right out of the Marine Corps. And even when it happened in the shop, and they, you know, the scuffle, and they knocked over the butane can that's for welding. It's like, geez, imagine that thing had gone. It's right out of the Marine Corps, right? Imagine that thing had torched off. Boom! The whole shop went up. You know, Rob's just like, geez, I'm right back in Camp Pendleton again. So.
It's awesome. It's awesome. So what was the best part of, let's talk about the whole Prairie Dog shooting event. Okay.
Oh, God.
All right. You guys have like a table, right? And, a bench and, you know, the whole shit to whack prairie dogs. What was that about?
Oh, he's got all the toys. He's got Carl Zeus lenses, and he's got all these amazing toys. Rangefinder, you pull the binos up, push a button, that's 356 yards, you know, and then he's got his data all there, like, that's four up, like, click, click, click on the scope. Oh, it is dialed in. He's got a 1,000-yard range there, so he's got a target set up in a shooting post 1,000 yards out, so, I mean, he's shooting from 1,000 yards away. It's like paradise out there. I mean, he's got a creek that runs through the middle, and he's got this fly fishing cabana that's loaded with reels and poles, and you walk out, you can go either to the pond or to the creek, and it's not really a creek, it's more like a river. And brown trout, you know, rainbow trout. I mean, and you can't see a house. Can't see a house. You're out there in the middle of like paradise. It's amazing place.
So if he's in paradise, why is he so damn angry all the time?
Yeah, why is he all pissed off?
I think his back's always hurt. He works his ass off. He's thinner now than he was he's thinner now than when we were in Afghanistan.
Yeah, but he was kind of
probably 50 pounds lighter.
He was kind of chubby in Afghanistan.
Oh, man. He's going to call in. Watch. Give him 5 minutes.
What?
Yeah.
I'm not being critical.
No, not at all.
No, but he was kind of chunk in Afghanistan. What about,
I didn't realize, though, how much he's got all these higher certifications for shoeing horses. He's like a full-blown, like, you know, got all these degrees and diplomas in shoeing horses, and he can mentor people, and he knows how to go to blacksmith, and like he can make the horseshoe and customize it to the foot of the horse. I mean, he like went to like Montana State to get like a second degree in it. It's pretty fascinating. Really?
I didn't realize that thing was that complex. I guess. Huh?
Yeah.
Well, we as humans made it complex. It's really not. I mean, shit, they were doing it 300 years ago with tools that don't exist. So, I mean, and they didn't have a problem. So it wasn't that hard. Come on.
Yeah, you get to grade it on it. You get to make the shoot. Well, you get the hardest one, of course, because the one exam he takes is a practical, and the horse has got a flat toe. So he's like, no shit, I got to make a horseshoe that's got a, it's not round, it's flat. So he's like, here I am bending this horseshoe to try and, you know, shape it to the horse's foot. And it's got to shape perfect, like it can't have like an overlap.
Wait a minute, I thought they used to shave the horse's hoof down to conform it to...
Yeah, he files it, but I don't think you can file a flat one. Like, it's like it's the way the horse is made. You know what I mean?
Why you can't you can't do that anymore because it'll hurt the horse's feelings. So for 4,000 years we didn't do this shit. Now you got to go get a college degree so you can like not hurt the horse's feelings.
Look at some dude's big feet in his sandals. Some dude's feet are more jacked up than others, yeah. Right? So the dude with the jacked up feet, they got to customize the shoe, right? Because his toes are all jacked up. So that's what he did.
I know, but if we could shave the dude's, if we could reconfigure the dude's foot, we would do that before he manufactured new shoes for such a small group of people. Yes?
I don't know.
Don't add common sense into this equation.
Sorry. I was just going off what you said. So we've done this for like 4,000 years, probably longer, right? But now we got to go to college to do it. So we've got to get certain.
Well, that's what I said. We screw everything up. Humans screw everything up.
Mike, when is the world going to be a better place?
Well, hopefully tomorrow. But, I mean, any day after tomorrow is fine.
I set that up for you. Normally you say, as soon as we get rid of all the humans.
Oh, when the world's going to be, waiting for the mass extinction. Hell yeah.
Why? Rudy, are you paying attention? Hey, are you paying attention while you're driving with my washing machine?
Yeah, it's hanging in there. I'm watching the door, make sure it's not slamming around.
Okay.
You know, it's funny, you were talking about the bagpipes. My grandmother had the same audio thing where you lift up the top. And my dad had those red albums. My dad loves bagpipes. I used to listen to those red albums, no kidding. I knew exactly what you were talking about. The red albums.
Yep. No.
Yep.
When were we talking about bagpipes?
Right before you came on, I was talking about, I saw the image of the president getting ready to kind of troop the line with the Queen of England, and those uniforms reminded me of the covers of the albums that my grandmother had. My grandfather loved bagpipe music. I would go, but I used to like to listen to the commands that they would give.
Do you have them, Mac? Do you have the album?
I have a stack of those albums in my garage right now.
I might be able to get you a copy from my dad.
They've got to be like, what, 70 years old?
Oh, yeah. I remember even back, I mean, I used to listen to them in the 70s. They were old men.
Be careful. Be careful. That's all I'm going to say to you right now. Be really careful.
I didn't know your grandmother was living in Edmonds. You know, I was born in Edmonds.
It's a beautiful place. I didn't, you know, I went up there. I had family in Seattle, but they moved to Edmonds. They moved north to Edmonds. Edmonds is a beautiful place.
Yeah.
Mike, have you ever been there to Edmonds, Seattle, Edmonds, Washington?
No. I don't like Seattle and Washington.
Why not?
I don't like Washington State. I don't know nothing about it. I think the whole time that I've ever been up there, it's been rainy and gloomy and a bunch of weird people.
Yeah, I don't mind Washington State. I hate the Seahawks. That's the only thing I hate about the state. But the good news is they suck now. They've lost all their good players, and they're going to suck. And their arrogance that Rudy perpetuated, he doesn't like to talk about it, but yeah, him and his, like, every picture you see, he's wearing his Seattle Seahawk colors, all that bullshit. That little reign of tyranny is coming to an end. That's right. Coming to an end.
You got Richard Sherman now, so your secondary is pretty good.
And then, but they also lost to Cam Chancellor, said he was not going to play anymore.
Well, it's because I think he's worried he's going to get paralyzed.
Yeah. Okay, we don't really care about the issue, but yeah. Seattle, I hate the Seahawks, so So that's the only thing I mind about the state of Washington.
I'll be dishing on my team. We're still going to beat the shit out of the 49ers.
Hey, don't write checks you can't cash, bro. I think that ship is sailing as we speak. The mighty 49ers with Jimmy Garoppolo. And I'm not going to be able to watch him because the NFL still hasn't sorted out the national anthem shit. So I'm kind of pissed about that.
You're still boycotting the NFL?
Yeah, what am I going to do?
Yeah, they're
watch, still, yeah. Watch it? I can't. Yeah. So, yeah, they got together, they didn't include the Players Association, and then they come up with this bullshit. You can either stay in the locker room, but if you come out, nobody can protest. But if they do protest, then the team's going to get fined, and the team can pass that along to the player. Oh, that's your policy? That's your solution? That's awesome.
Yeah, but some owners have come out and said that they'll pay the fine.
Yeah, the New York Jets owner immediately said, yeah, we'll pay the fine for our guys. So it's like, so
they're trying to keep their players happy. They're all losing more players.
So anyway, yeah, well done, boys. Well done. And that's after they gave $89 million for social justice causes over the next 4 years. So you gave $89 million, and what did you get in return for that? A promise to cooperate so we can focus on football on Sunday and not have this shit jammed in our face? No.
Yeah.
Then why'd you give the $90 million, Goodell, you dumbass? So anyway.
Well, that's why I'm done with the NFL, man.
Forever?
Done. Until they figure it out.
Right.
Until they come back out of wherever, the place that they're in.
Hold on, let me read you an email. Good morning, Max. Seattle sucks. Seattle is a dark and gloomy and completely congested with traffic, including the tree huggers. Be well. Dave from Vacaville.
I will say traffic up there is awful now. It's like all of Amazon coming in to downtown Seattle, it's just gotten out of, you can't move. It's absolutely.
What are you talking about? You guys live in Southern California. Traffic is part of your life.
I'm doing 78 right now on I-5 coming through, I'm on right now.
Because everybody's at work, Rudy.
Hey, shut up. You don't know about California. You live in Texas. On your way to Mississippi, man. You don't know shit about California. Oh, back in the day when I was there. Okay, Colonel Sanders. It ain't like that anymore, okay? So just shut up. Have another drumstick and shut up.
Laguna Hills. I'm doing 75 right now.
Back in the day, son, when I was there.
Hey.
What?
Don't get so defensive about it. I didn't know you were that defensive about that place.
I'm not, but you make, like, back when I was living in San Diego, when I was back in 1930, when I was shooting a trolley with a bow and arrow. Like, oh, really, man? Shut up.
Before the shot has to get kicked.
And then Mike shoots shit with bows and arrows, and then he says, I, when kids even play with guns, I don't like that. Like, really?
I was a responsible kid.
He's like fucking Sybil, man. He says shit, and then it's like completely 180 out like 10 minutes later. Unbelievable.
Hey, Gunner, what's your thoughts on Ross putting some suppressors on his weapon? What do you think about putting suppressors on?
On what?
His hunting rifle?
A rifle? Nah, there's no reason to.
Why not?
Is it going to change the ballistics much? He says, long shots. How much does it affect the ballistics?
Depends on the can you buy. If you buy a cheap one, it'll affect it a lot. No, it doesn't really affect it that much. I mean, it's just your impact shift change, they call it.
Oh.
So,
yeah, he seems pretty good. He's got some amazing gunsmith out there in Montana that's going to, really amazing guy that building weapons with put suppressors on it.
Dude, there's amazing gunsmiths everywhere. Huh? I don't know. You can't hit a dead cat.
There's none better. There's none better than in Texas, though, right, Mike?
Actually, is in Indiana.
We're trying. Now we're gonna act like we're a grown up. Shit pisses me off.
I see what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I see what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. I see what you're doing.
Angry because we talked about California. Hit a hit a button with you.
I'm telling you guys, gotta go try out Montana. I think you both like it.
Yeah, Rudy's taking me. Rudy's taking me up to Montana next time he goes.
I know. I hope so. I get put in the back of the jet. We're gonna take a show expeditionary.
Yeah, Montana, baby. Okay, you know, we have to finalize travel plans going to Camp Lejeune.
You got it. Yeah.
I know.
No, Rudy's involved in it too. And so we got a, I don't know what kind of time he has, if he has the time to drive with you and me, Mike, or if he's got a, if he needs to fly straight to Camp Lejeune.
I think it's going to be the latter, yeah, because now they're talking about I might have to fly. I might not be able to make it. So.
At all?
But yeah. I might be in Florida that week. So I might be able to pop up for a day if I'm just sitting down there. So I'll let you guys know.
Well, that would be acceptable. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to need to sit down and finalize that stuff probably over the weekend. I've got a wedding to go to in San Diego tomorrow. In fact, I might go to Las Cuantas Milpas tomorrow.
Where's the wedding at?
Dude. Where's the wedding?
In La Jolla. In La Jolla, down by the cove.
If you do it, I want you to FaceTime it, like do it live. Your whole visit. Walk in there, hey, FaceTime it.
Quit telling me how to live my life, man. Okay, stop it.
You enjoy it. Don't tell me you don't like it.
You like me telling you what to do, and you know it.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I know. Connor, I like your step-by-step Facebook video of how to make ribs. That was good stuff.
How to what?
And when you made the ribs, and you did like the whole, yeah, the dry marinade, and that was actually, I was like listening very intently.
Wait a minute. Isn't it called a rub, a dry marinade? Is there such a thing? Is it a marinade, a liquid, and a dry thing, a rub? What are we talking about?
I guess it would be a rub.
All right. Just trying to make sure so everybody else understands listening to you. Just invented a cooking term, a dry marinade.
What did?
Rudy did.
Dry marinade?
Yeah.
He didn't make that up.
Yes, he did. He did, and don't try to play that game. How come you haven't live streamed it? You haven't live streamed a lot. I know him too good. I know the stupid games he plays. What? How come you haven't live streamed? Tina's home. You should be live streaming today at some point. Yes?
Yeah, maybe today. There's nothing to really, I need like, if I did it right now, she would just look at me and go, what are you doing?
Mike,
look,
let me just tell you the shit that I've seen live streamed, okay? Tina in the bedroom talking on a phone, Mike going through a closet into the bedroom and Tina physically assaulting him then. I've seen a thunderstorm live streamed. I've seen then it got a little bit better because you live streamed from Sedona. That was pretty. You live streamed.
There's artistic moments in there.
You live streamed.
The closet live stream is because he just said he rebuilt his closet.
Hey, if you're driving, Rudy, pay attention. Don't damage my washer.
That wasn't me. I'm still on I-5 doing 70 times. I'm just going past.
You're not going.
Cal State Fullerton.
You're not going.
Irvine.
You're not going 75. When I lived in California, nobody went above 15 on the interstate. Yeah.
Whoa! What's up with this? Hey, you know, at your age, you can't maintain this type of blood pressure, man. You need to calm down.
I don't have a blood pressure issue there, son. Yeah.
You're going to. You're going to bust a freaking vessel right in the side of your head.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not. I've never had I have low blood pressure, believe it or not. How about you?
I'm doing 5 miles an hour on Bordeaux Drive right now. So I'm
why? Why are you going so slow?
Because it's my neighborhood. I'm just relaxing.
Well, you better speed up. Somebody's going to mistake you for a stalker and shoot your ass. You're going to get a whole lot of number 9 buckshot through one of your windows.
He's got, everybody here in the street knows me.
Oh, they all know you? What do they call you, Mike, the gunner?
No, actually only one person calls me the gunner. And he's a former military guy, that's why he knows.
Did you introduce yourself as I'm the gunner?
No, I introduced myself as Mike.
I'm Larry, I'm Biff, I'm Cliff, I'm Cookie, I'm Tex.
Well, no, this guy, and actually I was pretty impressed. This guy was an Army guy. He was a Ranger most of his time, but he retired as Lieutenant Colonel. And good dude, really good dude, really active in, like, volunteer stuff. And so when we finally met, he goes, oh, you're the Marine that lives down, moved in down the street. And I said, yes. And he goes, what'd you do in the Corps? And I said, I was an 0306. Being a smart ass, because I knew, I was thinking to myself, there's no way this Army dog knows what that is. He goes, you're a Marine gunner?
He did not. You're making this shit up because you just want some attention.
No, and you know why he knew that? Huh?
Does one of us have to say why?
Why?
Is that what you're waiting for? Why?
Yeah, you gotta say why. It's like
why?
It's like knock knock, man.
Okay, why?
Well, because he knew, like, Terry Walker and Rick Charette and all those older guys on the East Coast. He knew all the older type gunners, the Pat Woolhoffs.
How did he know that? How did he know them? What job did he have in the Army where he would cross paths with them?
I don't know if he worked at, he did a lot of time up at, like, Bragg, and so they were working a lot at Lejeune and all that kind of shit, so.
Interesting.
So we got talking, so he's the only one that says the gunner. So, like, we'll be talking or something with people, and he goes, you know he's a gunner? And, of course, the civilian person's like, what the fuck? You're a machine gunner? Yeah, I was a machine gunner.
Yeah. You tell him, you snap on him, say, I was a mortarman, okay?
No, I don't snap anymore.
Oh, here we go. Now we're going to get I'm calm. Then I get the phone call.
Yeah.
I'm so pissed right now. Roar. Like, okay, why are you watching those?
That's
here?
That's the other side of me.
Why? I don't really consider that part of my personality anymore. That's a different person.
They're completely separate and completely defined as different people. So I don't look at them as the same.
So there's Michael, and then there's the gunner. They're two separate people?
Oh, there's Mark Simmet. He's been repressed for a long time. He hasn't surfaced. I haven't seen Mark Simmet in a long time. But there's Mark Simmet. There's the gunner. There's Michael. And there's
what about the guy that has that baseball jersey, name on the back of it? Baseball jersey.
That's him, Mark. That's Mark Simmet. Rudy, I'll tell you what, Rudy respects that, okay? Rudy respected that you had an alias as a young guy.
Yes.
Well, it was just like
Rob and I were talking about that. Jersey. That's pretty varsity.
I got this jersey that I forgot where I picked it up, or I don't know where I came up. The last name across was Simmet. So it became an alias. I wore it one day, and it was just like all of a sudden, like, hey, what's your name? Or no, they said, what kind of name is Simmet? You know, and I was like, huh? And they said, the name on your jersey, what kind of name is Simmet? I'm like, it's Irish.
It's Irish.
You know, and they're like, what are you talking about? So it was like, you know, it just popped up. So I was like, I'll take advantage of this.
It just happened, right? And with people you were probably.
Yeah, you don't really look Irish. Your skin seems dark.
I don't have to be Irish. The name could be Irish.
There you go. And you know what? And pretty much anything goes as a young enlisted Marine if you're not going to see them again, right?
Right.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I could have said it's Scottish. When they came back from, or they immigrated from Scotland, they dropped the Mac. It used to be Mac Simmet. And people would look at you like, what? Yeah. Whatever.
Yeah, they would believe that. That's something you would say, and then people would believe that. Oh yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Let me read you. Here's another email. My brother sent this to me yesterday. It doesn't look like Seattle sucks. So the picture is blue sky, sailboats, the Space Needle in the background. I don't think I'd rather be shooting prairie dogs, but fuck the 40-kneelers. Go Raiders. Really?
Oh, Raiders.
Raiders.
40-kneelers. I like that.
The 40-kneelers. He's a hater. Oh, you mean the five-time Super champ? The five-time Super Bowl champion, 40-kneelers? Those guys? Yeah, okay, I know who they are.
Yeah, the 40-kneelers.
Raiders are moving to Vegas.
Yeah, baby. Moving to Vegas. Just what the Raiders need. The Raiders are bullshit, though. You know, when I was a kid, they used to be good, and they used to be tough. And they're just, now they try to act like they're the Raiders, but they're really not the Raiders. It's just a joke. Just a joke.
No, the Raiders of the 70s, you know, that team went away a long time ago.
Yeah, they were badass when those guys in the 70s, but they were good. They were also like criminals, but they were really good.
They were very talented. They were talented criminals in football.
Yes, yes. That's, well said, Mike. Well said. Here's another email. Sounds like a pretty extensive rig to shoot prairie dogs. Am I missing something here?
No, you're not. Exactly. Stay with this.
Yeah, I didn't have any problem with the table and all that. Because obviously the problem I had was with his sombrero, man. Like, what's the deal with that?
It was hot as F out there. I mean, the sun was on your neck, man. It was like, for Montana, I was like, it's this hot in Montana? Plus, you're at 5,000 feet elevation. So, I mean, it's intense. It's like beating on
you. So, you're closer to
it's
the
not
front.
29 palms hot, but it's hot.
Did you
it's
have
a Pendleton on top of the hill hot?
Did you have a hat?
I borrowed Rob's.
You borrowed one of Rob's? What kind of shoes were you wearing? Yeah. You didn't bring any boots, so were you wearing your Birkenstocks, or what were you wearing?
You know, I have like these kind of all terrain hiking shoes that I got from REI, so it's when we go like snow skiing in the mountains, I throw those on because then you're not gonna wear your ski boots around all the time.
All right.
So I mean they got good traction. They're kind of like something you get at REI.
Did you?
They're not.
Did they look
Montana leather?
Did they look appropriate for Montana, or did you kind of look like the kid from La Jolla?
No, I think I fit in all right because once I throw on Rob's hat, cowboy hat, I had t-shirt, jeans, and all kind of all-terrain shoes. That's about what the interns are wearing.
All right. What about, when you went to the diner, what did you actually order? I know I gave you some advice. Don't ask, could I get an all-veggie omelet with egg whites and a latte? They don't do that shit in Montana.
No, it was so good, though. I went back the next day and ate lunch there before I headed to the airport. It's kind of got an Amish feel to it, even if people that, I don't know if they're Amish, but they kind of look Amish, and everything's like a bunch of handmade, like, wooden kitchen utensils that are for sale there, but I went with an omelet. It had onions and mushrooms and sausage inside, but I've got to make these big breakfast burritos, so he bought breakfast burritos for him and the other guys we were with, but...
Did you...
Did I just witness Rudy... Did I just hear witness of Rudy profiling based on religious beliefs?
No.
I'm just telling you. No. I'm just saying that they look Amish. If I was to say what their descent, they could be possibly Amish.
What?
Yes, I'm just saying.
Amish?
What's wrong with saying you look, you possibly look Amish? Like, to me, it's almost a compliment. You know what I mean? It's like, I think it is.
Oh, Rudy.
I've never
you
got.
Look like
have you ever given somebody who looks good in something, looked at him and said, "Hey, man, you look Amish. That's awesome." Never heard that.
Yeah, no.
And that's a compliment.
Get your hand.
Oh, really? Thanks, man.
Hey, that beard.
Must be doing wonders with my...
That beard down to your belt buckle. That looks awesome. You must be Amish. I don't know, Rudy. Here's another email. This one's entitled "Full of Bullshit!" Exclamation mark. Hey, Mac, the gunner is classic. How does that guy stay on task and serve that much bullshit on a consistent basis without running dry? That would wear most people out. Outstanding! Exclamation mark. Let me just tell you, he's gifted. Okay, he's gifted. And Mike, sadly, as a gunner, probably had to rein in his act a little bit. Mike was at the apex of all of his personality when he was a gunnery sergeant. Right, the best job, one of the best jobs in the world, where you're supposed to be an asshole and you run most of everything in a company. So,
yeah, you can be the bad guy. I don't have to be nice.
Yeah. And you could just imagine
They're not expecting you to be nice.
Yeah, you can imagine his little reign of terror when it was the world according to GARP. Okay? The world according to Gunner.
No, I'm not disputing that claim. Life as a gunny was good.
I could only.
You were very candid as a regimental gunner. When you became a division gunner, then you think you got more filtered. The regimental gunner, when we were in Afghanistan, you were very candid and just told them what you thought. I don't think you're pretty raw.
I became, yeah, but as when I was a division guy, I had to have a little bit more filter to me.
Sell out.
Maybe like a sock as a filter, but still, nonetheless, a filter.
Yeah, but you know,
not
you're
talking like a HEPA or like a Ropu type filter, not that kind of tight. No.
What did you enjoy the most about being a gunny? I always wanted to be a gunny.
Again, the fact that, you know, because I was a gunny at LAR, and you know, my company commander kind of gave me the task of, hey, it was me and the XO who me and him got along great. That played the bad cops. We were bad cops, and the first sergeant and the CO were the good cops. And oh, I could play that role of bad cop. I loved it. You know, and they would be like, so if it was, hey, we're gonna turn you over to the XO and the gunny, they were like, oh, phew. At least there's an officer. But then when they were like, hey, the gunny's now gonna run this. And it was like, I just look at him like, yes, boys. That means all of the officers, all those zeros get to go home, and now it's me and you. They're not even going to know you existed when I'm done with you. You know, your word against mine, boys. And believe me, mine's ironclad.
That's so sad. And they're just young kids, 18 and 19 years old, and that... And here they have, like, a jaded, pissed-off guy in charge.
Not
a poser.
The CO and I had a word. We had a deal. We talked about this. So whenever he was angry at the company and he wanted me to get fired up, he would berate me publicly, humiliate me publicly. And so we knew about this. He'd call me and go, hey, Gunny, I'm going to talk about this. I'm like, okay, sure. I'll get all pissed off and I'll get all, you know. And he goes, I'm going to lay it on pretty thick because I'm really pissed off. No, go right ahead. And then he would just berate me in front of the company and then go, all right, Gunny, I'm going to let him have, you have it for 24 hours. You better unfuck these guys. You know, and then I turned to him and go, you let me down, boys. That's it. You have no protection now. Your patron saint has departed. You know, and these, so, I mean, I'll bet you some of them probably thought, like, this is it, we're going to die.
We're going to die.
But we had it great. Me, the CO, the first sergeant, and the XO, and we played that role like nobody. We would rehearse it. We'd sit in the company commander's office. And laughing, drinking, you know, after hours. And then talk about what we got to do tomorrow. You know, we got a vehicle inspection. You know, no one likes to do a vehicle inspection, but Gunny did. Boy, Gunny loved vehicle inspections, you know.
Yeah. You know what, there is
you
no...
You need character, man.
There's no more fun job, and there's no worse job in the world than being a Marine. fun. When you work with competent guys, got a little bit of sense of humor, it is a fun, and they get it. They know how to do it. It is a fun, intoxicating, incredible job. When you work with idiots, it is fucking painful. It is horrible. It's a caste system that doesn't work, and you have dysfunctional idiots who don't know how to lead, who are afraid to get in trouble, all that shit. It is, fuck, you just want to smash your face with something jagged and blunt. Stupid. All right, what do you guys got going this weekend? Rudy, what are you going to do? You're taking me to lunch today after you deliver? I can't believe you're not going to take my old washer, but all right. I'll do. Mike's got a good point. I'll just put it out. Slowly. I'll put a sign that says, slow leak, take it.
Yeah, I'm going to take it to this restaurant near your house. I've been fine. It's good.
Don't tell me what to do.
It's Cindy's birthday this weekend, so I'm doing some special stuff for her.
Well, really? What are you going to do? Can you talk about it?
No, it's secret. I'll tell you next week.
All right. How old is she?
47.
Whoa.
Yeah. We're both born in 71.
Both born in 71. Nice. Yeah. Mike, do you remember when you were 47?
Yeah, it was just last year.
Right. Okay, so we're going to lunch. Mike, what do you got? What are you and Tina doing today?
I'm out running errands, and then, what time is it? Oh, it's lunchtime here. So, I don't know. I'll call her and see if she wants to go to lunch.
All right. We'll do that. Okay, one last question. Here's an email. Hey, Mac, you guys have not mentioned anything about the hearing yesterday. Did you watch it?
No, I don't want to go there.
I watched about 30 seconds. In my opinion, this is my opinion, it's an embarrassment to the country. Okay. It's not about the truth. It's about bullshit. So I didn't watch it. I shut that shit off. Cause it would have just.
I would have smacked his face right off of his skull. With his little freaking facial gestures that he's making.
Yeah.
That guy he's got a face that you just want to punch.
Yeah. Peter Schrock. Right? If I had been questioning him and he'd done that, I'd have said, 1 second, I'd have got out of my chair, I would have walked around, walked down the table, and just boosh, knocked his little tie and his head and his hair sideways and say, and then I'd look up at the chair and say, I see the balance of my time to the chair.
Yeah.
You know what,
yeah,
what I've got talking about sitting in teleconferences with Furness. He said Furness would start, you know, they'd have to put it on mute because he just couldn't handle like stupidity. He'd be like on a teleconference and people start saying stupid stuff and he'd like, you could just start seeing Furness's anger visibly on the screen and Rob would be diving for the remote to mute it because Furness would just, he'd just be getting ready to unload on these guys and it just, it's so funny.
Let me tell you why.
The same thing in these hearings.
Let me tell you why Mike's a better officer than Furness. Okay. Dave Furness is a major general. Okay. Mike was a major gunner. Okay. A major general gunner. Okay. Mike thought he was a general officer, but Mike learned to like have a filter. You just heard him talk about when he went to division, he got a filter. Furness has no filter. He's like a pipe with nothing over it. Right. And if he's thinking it, you're watching his head going, oh, here it comes, here it comes. Boosh! But let me tell you, it's refreshing. It's amazing that he's going to take over 2nd Marine Division because he lets it rip.
I told this story and I still think it's so kind of funny and just like you just finesse way, but. Remember, we just got back from Afghanistan. You know, you probably might remember this. And Furness, you know, you're kind of back from the combat zone, and now he's back to being base commander. So he wants to have an officer all meeting in the regimental theater, right? So, you know, most of us back in Afghanistan, you still got the Afghanistan dust in your boots. You know, you're kind of seasoned and you're used to Furness. So we're there early and we're sitting there, and he gets up. He's got his mic. And he gets up in front of the van, and here comes like four lieutenants that were from the battalion in. and he's just like, looks at him, and just like, this is how he opens it up. By all means, we'll just wait on you. The regimental commander is having an all-hands staff meeting, but we'll wait on the four lieutenants. I mean, he just, that's how he started it. You know, I'm just like, can you imagine being those four lieutenants and how little you felt? Oh, my God.
See? So that's with no filter. Unlike a sellout Mike, Mr. Filter, Mr. PC, Mr. I want to be a general officer, bullshit. All right. On that note, we'll end. Okay, boys. Rudy, what's your ETA over?
12:30.
All right. Mike, have a good weekend, bud.
All right, man. I'll talk to you later.
See you later. There you have it.
Later.
All right. There you have it. Under the heading of Never Let the Truth Get in the Way of a Quality Conversation, okay? Anyway, if you're just joining the program, whatever you do, don't touch that dial, okay? This is a quality entertainment event. The first part of the show, I had Ken Rogers on, who, if you listen to the program on any kind of regular basis at all, you'll recognize him. Vietnam-era Marine, fought at Khe Sanh in 1968. One of the marquee battles of the Vietnam War for the Marine Corps. So I asked him to come on and talk about something we've been talking about for a couple weeks now, or at least about a week, is PTSD and alcohol, right? They don't mix. But we don't say that in our culture. Just wanted to get his thoughts on that. And then after Ken Rogers came on, a guy I've known since 2005, Ross Pape, who was in the Army. He had two brothers in the Marine Corps. Between them, I don't know how many combat deployments they have, all three of them. The oldest brother, Riley, was killed while he was on terminal leave in a motorcycle accident. And his youngest brother, Ryan, was killed when his parachute did not open at Camp Pendleton because the riggers failed to rig it appropriately. And so Ross came on and both talk about alcohol and PTSD. So trust me, don't touch the dial. If you didn't hear them yet, then you need to. Okay. And the point of all this, and this song about the high life, what it says to me, it's Steve Winwood, just so you know, right? We have comrades that didn't come home, right? We owe to their memory to live better, okay? Right? And that embrace the concept of post-traumatic growth. That experience that we all went through in various forms, we can use that to grow to be better people, okay? It's not a disease. It doesn't need to be an endpoint, okay? But that's what this song's about. So if you're going to live the high life and you deal with post-traumatic stress, you don't have to be a Marine. You don't have to, you know, you can't do it with alcohol in your life. You simply can't. But we as a culture don't say that. Okay, and we need to. We need to do a better job at doing that. Why? Because we care about the people who we lead. We've seen their courage and selflessness, and we can help them. And so you're going to get their thoughts on it. You're going to get their thoughts on dealing with post-traumatic stress and alcohol. And then you're going to hear the Gunner and Rudy on today. Rudy back from Montana in a very intellectual discussion about life for the last hour. So have a great weekend. Thanks for listening on a Friday. My thanks to Ken Rogers for coming on. My thanks to Ross Pate for coming on. Have a great weekend. On Friday, Almarine Radio. Over and out. Live the high life, man. We owe it to him.